You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 13th of January. The Utah Jazz are second in the West. Two more wins in the books over the weekend. What did the wins over the Hornets and the Wizards tell us? A look at what the Jazz are since Jordan Clarkson, and one number that should blow your mind. That's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! Welcome to New York City. This is Locked On Jazz, coming to you live from New York as the Jazz will practice today in New York and then play Brooklyn tomorrow. Kyrie Irving and the Nets coming off a win last night against the Atlanta Hawks. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeking numbers, and hopefully making it a lot better for you to be a Jazz fan each and every day. So the Jazz get two wins over the weekend. One against the Charlotte Hornets at home, a complete dismantling of the Hornets, and then a win over the Washington Wizards, who had won 4 of 7, including wins over Boston, Miami, and Denver, and the Jazz were without Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley, and the Jazz were able to put it together last night. So we'll talk about both those and then look at some trends, and obviously things are rolling. But the Jazz are rolling. There's been a conversation that, hey, they haven't played anyone and they've taken advantage of this. And that, I guess that's true. They lost to their one loss in the last 15 is against Miami on the road, who has the best home record. And they lost to and they beat the Clippers in LA, which is, a pretty darn good win. There is also something that if you're going to go win 55 games in the NBA, these are the games you actually have to win. This is actually how you're going to, if you're going to be a 55-win team, this is what has to happen. You've got to muster your way on against every not particularly good team at home, and then on the road, you have to find your ways to wins, which are never, particularly easy. The other thing I would just point out is that, when you look at the Jazz playing these games, and if you look at win probability, their win probability is at 55, 60, 65%. Maybe on some of them it's been as high as 70. If you had that coin that was weighted that way, you wouldn't win nine straight. You wouldn't win 14 to 15, right? That's the way probability works. So they're far exceeding the probability of what you could expect out of a team in this circumstance. I think that's what's important. Sure, it'd be nice to see what happens when we go to Denver and not have to play them coming up on a back-to-back out of San Antonio and actually have a good testament of that. It'd be nice to play the Rockets right now and see where we stand and maybe match up against Dallas, which, we have not played Houston yet. We have not played Dallas yet this year. We've not played Denver yet this year. So we do have an unusual schedule in the sense that we have not played Western Conference foes, and we're working toward the 40th game mark. We'll play 41 games having not played the Rockets, the Nuggets, the Mavericks yet this season. That's strange. So we'll do that all on the back end. And we'll see how we do. But right now, they're doing what they can do, and they're doing it awfully impressively. They're +9 in road wins minus home losses, which is, the second best in the Western Conference. So that's, those are the wins. You have to grind them out, get them done if you're going to go to win 55 games in a season. And that's what they've done. Against Charlotte, Charlotte was a strange game because it felt as though Charlotte did not make any adjustments coming off of the Jazz beating them 2 weeks earlier, and the Jazz replicated the exact model by which to beat them. Lights out three-point shooting, great ball movement, ton of good looks, And they were able to really do exactly what they did last time, which, as I said, I thought was strange. Like, I was surprised there wasn't any adjustment. I guess, you know, on the optimistic side of things, you could say that we've just gotten to a point where we're so good that we dictated how the game was played in a manner that they couldn't do anything about. And they may not have the system or the bigs to deal with it, but we went 18 of 42 from three. You know, if we take 40 threes, we're going to win. We're 40% three-point shooting team. Right now, when we take 33 threes in a game, we're 17 and 4. If we take 35, we're 13 and 3. So 33 seems to be the better number. The other one is assists. We had 28 assists against Charlotte. We had 23 last night. So when we go and get 22 assists, I mean, the ball's popping, and obviously shots have to go in. That's what assists are, a little bit of a self-confirming statistic because it means the ball went in the hoop. But nonetheless, if we're not playing one-on-one and we're getting those hoops off ball movement, we are 18-2 this year. The other one that's interesting is if we steal any extra possessions offensively. In other words, if we have any sort of offensive rebounding prowess, 11 offensive rebounds or more, we're now 11-2. Those are not the numbers that are going to blow your mind. I'm leaving that for you for the next segment. So the Charlotte win was just really dominating. 5 minutes in, Quinn Snyder was quick to point out that Donovan Mitchell, who was sick, came out and changed the entire tempo of the game. He just came out, created unbelievable energy early. The arena, I thought, was dead. Maybe I was wrong, but it just felt very dead before the game. Didn't have its usual kind of Utah vibe to it. Friday night, lots going on, snowstorm. And I just think that the group did not have its juice. Or the building didn't have its juice. The group then came out with it and created juice, which I thought was really impressive. And Quinn credits Donovan with a lot of that, picking up defensively, high pickup points, eliminating Devontae Graham from the game. Donovan ends up going 2 of 9, 4 points, breaks his streak, but he was under the weather to the point where he does not play in Washington. Balanced attack that time. Clarkson 20, Niang another brilliant game 15, Moody 10, Gobert 15, Ingles 11, Bogdanovich 16. Then we go to Washington, and they get Bradley Beal back, and they get Thomas Bryant back, two nice players, though Bryant was on a minutes restriction. And we're without Donovan. And this was, again, a team that won 4 of 7 and had 3 of those wins against good teams. And this was pretty impressive because, and, you know, frankly, Thomas Bryant's 15-minute restriction might have had an impact on the game because they were pretty good when he was on the floor. But Bogdanovich went and took the game early. He finished with 31. He had 22 of them in the first half. But he was just getting to the basket, attacking, using hesitation in the lane. It was terrific. Joe had this kind of superb, aggressive game. He kind of got us out of some of the early doldrums. But the Jazz fell down by 15 in the third quarter. And then mustered their way back on a 21-4 run in that third, which was kind of a crazy impressive, in that, you know, the game was really in the balance. You thought that you're probably going to be in, I mean, when you're down by 15, it's, you know, a 21-4 run is the only answer, and they did it right away. They had 38 points in that third quarter. The offense just was incredible last night. Last check, the offensive rating last night was a 129. Might have even been a wow. I didn't realize it was. I knew it was 120 plus, which is absurd. You don't lose when you're 120 plus. And then Clarkson takes over. So Bojan does part of it. Clarkson goes and takes over another part of the ballgame. Joe Ingles has a fabulous outing. And then Rudy Gobert defensively in the third quarter and around the rim in the fourth. And a collective effort without Donovan, and they win in a game that by the end, I don't think anyone thought they could lose. Never really felt like you were going to lose that ballgame. Bradley Beal was pretty aggressive, played 27 minutes, took 25 shots, scored 25 points. And the Jazz took advantage of smaller guys, adjusted defensively on the backdoor baseline action of Washington as the night went on. And they absolutely crushed it. And that's just kind of methodical wins. Though I don't know if Charlotte was an opportunity to lose, but Washington certainly was. I've got a number for you, and I'll try to explain why I think it's so incredible. That it has me thinking this team could really, really be great. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Located in Woods Cross, the Murdochs and Chevrolet have been together for 90 years. Chevrolet is bread and butter Americana. It's intertwined with Utah. The Murdochs and Chevrolet and Utah have all been together all of this time. Murdoch Chevy is located right in Woods Cross, right off the freeway as you head up north. And they've got the incredible truck lineup, the Silverado and the Colorado. I've driven both of them, loved them both. I just gave back my Blazer, which was super. Got a million comments about the Blazer reaction from people on how stylish it looked. It drove beautifully. If you're looking for an SUV, they've also got the Equinox, the Traverse, and the Trax for you. A great lineup of cars there and special year-starting deals in 2020. That's all out at Woods Murdoch Chevy and Woods Cross. You can do the same thing with me as we do with Hyundai. If you're looking for a Chevy truck, Silverado or Colorado, you're looking for the Suburban or the Tahoe, make sure you send me an email first at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com so that we can take a moment and get you set up like a pro before you head over to Murdoch Chevy. The Utah Jazz, this year, when their offensive rating is 107 or better, are 22-1. 22-1. And now let me explain the one. The one is Milwaukee when Rudy Gobert doesn't play. So the Utah Jazz are actually 22-0 when Rudy Gobert plays and their offensive rating is a 107. All right, what the hell does that mean, Locke? 107, the league average is 110. 107 would make you the 20th offense in the NBA. So if we can play to the level of the 20th offense in the league, we're going to be close in every game. And if we play above that, we evidently win. 22-0. Considering that the offense since Jordan Clarkson's joined us is a 121.9. A 121.9. Seemingly being above 107 seems like it's going to happen most of the time. I'm sure this trend will break at some point. But here's what it tells me. The first one it tells me is we're really hard to beat. Right? So the first thing to be in the ballpark to beat us, you're going to have a above average offensive game with a game in which Rudy Gobert is involved. Okay, that doesn't actually happen very often. Right? So that's the first thing. More importantly, what it tells me about us defensively is that we are playing defense and great defensively when we need to be. Really, all you want your defense to do is to allow them to score fewer points than you do, right? That's the concept. It's really basic. So if we're rolling offensively, defense might not be quite as good because we're up by 10. There is a game flow aspect to these things. If what it tells me that if our defensive rating is a 107 or our offense is better than a 107 that we don't lose, is that our defense can kind of get to 107 whenever it has to. Like last night, our defense wasn't great, but our offense was a 130. Right? That was, so we didn't need to be 107. We were 118, and we won by 9 without a lot of threat, and we got every stop we need to get. It's a little bit of a dangerous way to live. It's also pretty realistic to how the NBA works. But the fact that if our offense is a 107, below average, we're 22-0. To me, is first, it says the defense, when we have to get stops, we do. Or when we need to clamp down for a period of the game because we're suddenly having an offensive struggle, we do. We'll see whether that's true or not, right? There are some teams that are good enough to be top five offensively and top five defensively, and it would be awfully nice if we did that, but doesn't evidently look to be totally the way we're doing it. On the flip side, getting us down to 107 will happen, but it's not something that's going to happen with regularity, frankly. Because when you're the number one three-point shooting team in the league and one of the top fourth shooting teams in the league, you have to turn the ball over at a really high rate, not offensive rebound at all, or go to the free throw line, not go to the free throw line at all, or have a rare bad shooting night. Like last night was a bad shooting night for us, and we had a 130 offense. Right? Our average shooting night is 40% from three. So when we go 33% from three like we did last night, that's actually a bad shooting night. We had not been 33% from three except for the Miami Heat game was the last time. And before that, we did not shoot it well in Atlanta. But we've been above 37% from three or at 37% from three in all but three games since we lost the Oklahoma City Thunder on a night where we shot our last two losses, we shot 26% from three and 33% from three. So it's pretty, the offensive rating in our most recent losses, 104 to Miami, 88 to the Thunder. I mean, that's just brutal. Lakers 92, Philadelphia 90, Toronto 104, Indiana 102, Milwaukee's the one at 114, Minnesota at a 93. Like, I don't know that we're seeing those numbers again. In the win streak, or since Oklahoma City, in Atlanta we are 105. How many times we've been under 107? Atlanta we are 105. Miami, we were 104 and lost. Detroit and Chicago, we were 106s and won. And then since we added Jordan Clarkson, most of our games have been ridiculous. So I don't know if it's kind of a different way to look at it, but my point is I think our defense is good enough that if our offense gives us an above-average day, we just win all the time. Which is really pretty insane. We're the number one offense in the NBA since Jordan Clarkson joined us 9 games ago. Now, the schedule's been what the schedule's been. But that's all we have is data. And I'm so right. But we're not going to come down. Like, the offensive rating in that time period by the Jazz is a 121.9. Dallas was hovering at like 116 this year for a historically great offensive season. No one's delusional enough to think that we're holding at 119 for the season. That's not possible. But, or 121 for the season. But I do think, as we thought from the very beginning, this team had everything in it that could make it a top five offensive team, and we're seeing that. And it's pretty awesome. If you're in the market to buy or sell your home, you should think about Homie. Homie's doing things differently. The real estate market has been kind of the same thing, done the same way for a long, long time. And Homie is doing it differently. Not just their fun teal billboards or their blimp inside of Vivint Smart Home Arena giving away dollars to fans during games. No, they're doing it differently because while you still get an agent that takes you to your dream home, that does all of the negotiating for you, that looks and makes offers for you, they are now working to get you $5,000 back on each of your home purchases. A lot of people think it's free to buy a home. It's actually not. The money you pay for your home is used to pay the seller, their agent, whatever agent you choose to hire. It's your money that pays both agents. Homies is just returning $5,000 to you now at the end of the process. Find out more by texting LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's 88588. Text LOCK. An experienced local homie agent will help you every step of the way. Changing the way we do real estate in Utah and other markets, it is homie. Text LOCK to 88588. All right, Mondays we like to do the Monday runaround and kind of take a look at where everybody is in the league. If we just look at the last nine games, we can take a look at some of this. We can also look at cleaning the glass, which I like to look at. So we'll float between the two here. Cleaning the glass just kind of has a quick snippet of the last 2 weeks of everyone. And that, I think, gives us a good idea and that we can dig in a little deeper on it. But the number one team in the NBA over the last 2 weeks is the Utah Jazz, with the number one rated offense and the number six rated defense. Number two is the Lakers. Number three is the Rockets. Number four is Memphis. Interestingly, number five is a team we beat in the streak. It's Orlando. Number six is Milwaukee, and number seven is Oklahoma City. Now, so we have not played many of those teams. We beat Memphis in the stretch, so they're pretty good, and we beat teams that are struggling at this point of the year are not usually surprising until you see Philadelphia, as over the last 2 weeks, is 29th in the NBA in differential. 22nd offensively, 28th defensively. No other real surprise at the bottom of the barrel. Brooklyn's offense couldn't score without Kyrie. Denver is 19th. Their defense over the last 2 weeks ranks 30th in the NBA. That's surprising, because that's kind of what they've been super good at for most of the year. Let's look at the last 15 games, and we'll take it down to the last 10, just kind of get a feeling on how everything is. But let's look at first, we'll stretch it out a little bit. Top five offensive teams in the league over the last 2 weeks: Utah, Indiana, Memphis, incredible story, San Antonio, Denver, and New Orleans. Lakers coming at 7, Dallas comes in at 8, Houston at 9, Clippers at 10, Oklahoma City at 11. Wow, the West. The good West. The bad offensive teams, the only surprise in there is Toronto with their injuries has fallen apart. And as I mentioned, Philadelphia is 22nd. Otherwise, it's all teams you'd expect. The defensive top teams in the NBA: Orlando's number one, Lakers two, Toronto three, Houston is four over the last 2 weeks. Milwaukee five, Utah six. Minnesota without Karl-Anthony Towns can really defend. Surprises are Denver is 30th. Philadelphia, who we thought would be the best defensive team in the league with their lengths, is 28th defensively in the last 2 weeks. Indiana's not very good either. They're 24th. So that's a little surprising that we have that kind of slippage taking place on some of these teams. And those are the numbers over the last 2 weeks, so you stretch it out with that 2 weeks and wonder what else you see, except for the fact that the way I do that, which is NBA.com, is site seems to be down right now, which makes it so that's not something that we're actually going to do today, which is a bummer. Ironically enough, I'm in New York. I'm right next to NBA.com, and their site is down and not pulling up data for me right now. So I cannot give you the last 15 games and 10 games and 5 games. But I can tell you this. The last 15 games, we are the number one offensive team in the league. The last 9 games since Jordan Clarkson's come, we're the number one team in the league. And you know, there's a lot that's taken place. Quinn's made a tremendous amount of adjustments and taken a lot of look at things impressively. Joe Ingles has stepped up his game at a dramatic level. We're getting nothing out of Dante and change that into Jordan Clarkson, which is a stunner. Santa came early in a mammoth way for the Utah Jazz. And the Jazz moved Donovan in the angles by which he was attacking so that offensively he's playing a different game and playing it better. And Justin Zanuck and Dennis Lindsay built a team that has multiple offensive options so that on a night like last night where you're missing your entire starting backcourt, the Jazz somehow find a way to win. Pretty incredible. That is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks very much for tuning in. Thanks for joining us. Josh Lloyd, Monday edition. He runs around the NBA. He actually wanted to do the Jazz, if you're wondering, but I was not available because we were flying last night. So don't feel slighted that the Utah Jazz were not the selection of one of those teams by Josh Lloyd and the Locked On NBA crew. So right now, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NBA.